try to decide if I should stop and get you before I go to my bank where I have to get cash. And then go to the airport to be on an airplane. I mean, if I went to this gas station, I could get some kind of energizing drink, and that would be cool. Yes. Yes, I am going to go the energy drink store. You might call it a gas station. I don't know you. I don't know what you call it. I'm gonna go buy this drink. Oh, this gas station is the worst. I ended up buying a Monster Pipeline. A Juice Monster, I guess. Not Monster Juice. Pipeline Punch. Sounds like it might be all right. I don't know, just the we've got drinks organized and what they do and don't have is just such a mess. And that gas station seems like it is solely staffed by older men that want to look down on you no matter what you are buying. It's an unpleasant experience. All right, now I'm at this bank. I'm gonna get money. Paper. Scribble. Can I describe my experience of drinking all those Thai Red Bulls at once? You know, I felt kind of out of breath. Like, to kind of just... Like warmed over and just... That's right, this Mixlr is burning chrome. It's what we do. Going to an airport that I don't go to very frequently.
Then turn right. Use the left two lanes to turn left onto East Washington Street.
My thoughts on portable Mario Maker without online. So it looks like it has online, but only to, like, in the service of you randomly playing levels that people created on the Wii U. That was sort of what that's sort of what they implied, I think. Since Wii U stages would be compatible, you would have to, you know, connect to the internet to get those, and it seemed like you would be able to do the Mario Challenge stuff with, like, most of those levels, but not ones that use the costume mushroom for whatever fucking reason. Probably they just didn't want to pay licensing fees for all of the costumes that are not owned by them, I'm guessing. So they just disabled the feature entirely, which is fucking insane. Yeah, I don't know. That seems like a pointless product. Like, if you can't upload the levels you are creating in that version to the internet, then what's the fucking point? The idea of, like, hey, here's a 3DS version of the game that you can use to play levels that people, it's just a player. Like, that's fine if that's something they bring out. Hey, it's $20 or something like that. Like, sure, why not?
In a quarter mile, turn left onto the rented US 101. A slowdown on US 101 south, while on I-580 east, causing a 24-minute delay. You are on the fastest. You will arrive at 10:28 a.m.
It just seems like a fucking, like, ill-conceived product. Or, like, you know, it seems like a product made by a Nintendo that, after all these years, still doesn't understand how the fucking internet works. Do the new YouTube changes to monetization content affect us in any way? No, not really. You know, like, we don't bring in a ton of money on YouTube. We want to grow that channel bigger, but primarily just to expose what we do to more people. You know, For us, it's not necessarily about YouTube as a pure, like, revenue source or something. Like, that'd be nice, but, you know, we want people to know about what we do. So, you know, we're talking about stuff about, oh, well, why don't we do more of this type of stuff? Or, hey, maybe we should switch the YouTube player a little more frequently on the site and use it. But to do that in a way that, like, would kind of adhere to our promised subscriber out, you know, those kind of pre-rolls and those kind of forms of advertising, like, we wouldn't put ads on those YouTube videos anyway. So, it's not, it doesn't really do anything for us one way or the other. Also, it doesn't seem like it's actually a change. It seems like this is something that they've said for a while, and that maybe they're just kind of enforcing it. But, you know, I don't know. Like, it's one of the reasons why you can't really put all of your faith into any one platform unless you own that platform, because that sort of stuff can always happen. They could change the way they allow advertising tomorrow, again, if they wanted to, and everyone who has built a business specifically off of that revenue is, you know, like they're exposed. They're very vulnerable to those sorts of changes. You know, like, we're a subscription business, and, you know, like, there are certainly ads on the site, but it's not, that stuff doesn't bring in so much money that we're like, oh yeah, forget subscribe. Like we are still very much reliant on subscription, and that's the thing that makes us interesting. Without that subscription money, we wouldn't exist at all, I'm sure. Someone would have come in and shut it down. So, you know, like, when you're running a business, obviously you want to try to make money from as many different places as possible and do as well as you can and stuff within reason and try to build it up. But, like, when I look at, like, YouTube, look at Twitch, and I look at some of the other places where we put our stuff, like, the best we could hope for is that people encounter our stuff and actually get into it and hopefully become a subscriber at some point. And if we can, you know, make a little money along the way with a little bit of ads and stuff, or they don't want to pay, but they still want to experience the stuff, and, you know, hopefully we can make a little money on some ads and stuff like that, but, you know, that's the business. It's subscription stuff, so. And, you know, it's nice, hopefully, you know. Which, we've got a new shirt coming pretty soon. I think pre-orders for the shirt will probably open, if not this weekend, then next week, I think. So, yeah, you know, I don't feel like we're especially exposed with any of these YouTube changes. Like, our channel's not that big to begin with. You know, whatever, it's not, like, a small channel, right? But, you know, like, what, we're closing in on, like, 2,000 subscribers, which, for something we've only really kind of even started looking at that number earlier this year and kind of caring about it and going, like, maybe we should do a few easy things to kind of get this up. Like, that's pretty good for the minimal work we put into that stuff, so. So, yeah, but at the same time, like, it's a subscription-focused business, so. So I want to build things around that, and that's stuff that, you know, probably happen. Yeah, well, I say probably happen, but who knows? Stuff I'd like to do next year around, like, referrals and like loyalty program type stuff. Like, oh, you've been a subscriber for 5 years, like, you get a thing, or, you know, this, hey, hi, you referred 5 people to the site, so you get a free month, you know, free, I don't know, some kind of something. I think that would be cool. And yeah, you're right. There are those cases where, like, some people can't use the site at work, but they can use YouTube, so that works out good. I mean, that's why the podcast is on SoundCloud also, or one of the reasons, is because some people can't get to the site any other way. Yeah, I don't know. I saw people complaining about the YouTube stuff yesterday. It just, and when I looked into it, it didn't seem like it was an actual change. It was just, it's stuff they've more or less been saying all along. And also, it makes sense. Like, as a business, they, you know, if you're, let's say you're an advertiser, you don't want your brand appearing next to, like, offensive content, right? I mean, that's just, that's how fucking the corporate world works. And, like, yeah, I think we can all agree that that just sucks, but you can at least understand why, like, some advertiser wouldn't want to be the, you know, like, have their videos next to stuff that they're just like, oh, man, like, I don't want to be seen as supporting these types of views and this type of content, so we can't advertise here. You know, I don't know that, you know, a YouTube algorithm is the best way to determine that stuff. I don't know how they're forcing it or flagging or whatever, but I at least understand, like, why would happen. And it's one of the benefits of being like a subscription focused business is, you know, like we don't really have to care about that shit. But I do think that, like, on some level, the YouTube boom has to come to an end one way or another, and this is one of those signs that, like, you should look at it and go, like, okay, this thing that everyone was, like, just giving, like, this is the new way, and everyone's going to be in their bedrooms making videos forever, and, like, you look at it and go, like, okay, there's going to be limitations, and the content is going to have to adapt to, if that's your business, and that's the way you, like, have to earn a living, then you're stuck. You're do what they want for that. You're going to adapt your content to do that. Or you're going to try something wildly different. And yeah, we'll push into Patreon and stuff like that. But the percentage of, like, that's been the interesting thing to watch over the years is, like, have there been any people that built up a presence on YouTube, and that was their primary presence, that then got people off of YouTube to subscribe to a Patreon, to subscribe to another video service, and say, hey, my videos are too raw, they're going to be on Vimeo. Like, okay, well, no one's ever going to see you again. That's how it's been. So, it's... yeah, stuff's, you know, a little crazy. And yeah, you're right, yeah, some of them can, some of them do merchandise, obviously, and some of them do outside ad deals, and, you know, that's a different case where, like, they've got an ad sales team or MCN or whatever selling directly on their behalf, as opposed to the run-of-site, like, everywhere stuff that YouTube sells. But, you know, my understanding of it is that the YouTube audience is quite thick, as is the Twitch audience. And if you kind of drop off in frequency or go to another platform or something like that, then you're just gone to them and they move on to the next one. Like, there isn't that much loyalty in a lot of those fan bases. So it was something, one of those guys, I forget who it was, like, they did a bunch of PAX interviews. They went to PAX and shot interviews and put them up, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is cool. I'm doing stuff like, you know, like the old school game journalists be doing or whatever. But they found that by cutting into the number of videos, they could have been doing videos that whole time, and that would have been better for them from a business perspective. And it would have been smarter for them to stay home and just make more videos for the rest of their lives. And, like, sometimes I see that with us in a few ways, and, like, that's just not what I want to do with my life. Like, I need to be able to do stuff that is, like, bigger and better than just, like, here, more daily videos. So that's the hard part with having a small staff, is, like, we do the daily stuff, and we want to do the bigger stuff, and it's hard to do both. And so that's why that E3 video is up, like, now and not right after E3, is because, like, you know, Drew's been building a podcast studio and, you know, producing all these quick looks and live shows and all this other stuff that we do on the regular, and, like, fitting in time to edit that thing. Like, in a perfect world, that, you know, that'd be done, like, the week after, right? But, like, he doesn't, you know, like, he's working on 9 different things at once. So I'm happy that is finally, I hope that's good. I did not see the final cut of that yet. I didn't see any cut of that, actually. I just was there while it was being filmed, so it seemed like it would be good. I got an email yesterday from a monthly crate company that is producing a crate of loot about a popular Microsoft-published first-person shooter. And it was like, hey, influencer, join our influencer program. You get an account manager, and you get 2 free crates. At least 2 crates. And if you, hey, are there any games you want to play? We'll try to get them for you. And, hey, we got social reach. It was like basically saying, like, hey, become a personal unboxer of our stuff on your channel, and we'll subsidize some stuff and pay you. And, you know, it was like, I just looked at it, it was like, fucking disgusting. Like, ugh. Like, this is the fucking world that, like, we're in or adjacent to, or whatever you want to call it. And I look at it and just go, like, man, I don't want to fucking do that. A lot of those monthly boxes seem there for people who have desk jobs and, like, don't have enough of, like, enough style on their own to decorate their own cubicle with shit they actually like, so they just sign up to some service and it's like, oh, here's some shit I can put on my work. And, you know, whatever, some people like that. Like, that's neither here nor there, right? I mean, I don't give a fuck, like. People are clearly labeling that they are, you know, doing this advertising deal to open these boxes. Like, fine, no, whatever. Like, that, you know, that I'm not opposed to that. But it was just like all the language throughout in this email was like, ah, fucking yuck, yuck. But that's what it looks like, you know? That's especially in a world where YouTube is a little more finicky about what types of content they'll let you put ads on. All that does is push things further in that direction, I think. I got a pitch for PAX. I got a lot of pitches for PAX, but I got one in particular that was, hey, come play this thing. It's great for reaction videos. And the thing, it's the, I guess, so they're showing the kitchen demo, which is the thing they showed at E3 last year for PlayStation VR, which is not Resident Evil 7, which is a thing that they made, and like, it doesn't seem like any part of that will actually be in the game. Maybe it will be, I don't know, but when they showed it, it was before they'd announced RE7, so it was like a weird little teaser of a thing that's just like, okay, is it their PT? And then this demo came out, and maybe that was their PT, I don't know. And like, hey, come see this thing that is a year old, but this time you get to film reaction videos. I was like, no, we're good. I'm okay on that one. I have to imagine that the only reason they would show that thing there and not the actual RE7 demo would have to be because of the reaction to that demo and how negative. Like, well, I guess we could show this kitchen thing. It has to be, right? Well, we can't show that in VR because it made everybody sick. Yeah, all day PSVR stream. I'm hoping we get all that stuff in a timely fashion and can just do all that. I gotta start asking people about that, I guess. When they're gonna send it all out. Summer lesson. Yeah, I wonder if there'll be stuff for launch day that'll be Japan only. I'll have to look into that. Maybe import some stuff. Import some points and download some stuff. I can do that. Normally, when I go to Seattle, I get to fly out of the airport that's very close to my house and take a very tiny plane. But their flight times, like, they only have, like, one plane a day, and the flight times just didn't make any sense. And it would have been, like, I could have gotten a direct flight up, but then on my way back, I would have had to flown to Portland for 3 hours. And then home from there. It's like, you know what? I'll just fly out of this other airport and get direct flights on proper jets. Though, well, Southwest, so I don't know how proper I would say that these planes are going to be, but
I-580 East for 13 miles.
I can do that. How long would the drive to Seattle be? I think it's like 12 hours. Too far, too long, is the answer. Incredibly overcast out here in the East Bay. This is summer is over type shit.
Caused by an accident in 5 miles. You are still on the fastest route.
Cool.
course.
Take the I-80, I-580 exit toward Oakland, San Francisco. Take the I-80, I-580 exit toward Oakland, San Francisco.
The beat isn't especially fast, and I mean, the bass could be lower.
Use any lane to take the I-80 exit. Continue on I-80 for 4 miles.
If you only get with me, there's some things you gotta know. I like my beats fast and my bass down low. Champagne when we Thursday. Quit fronting while your husband wanna get his mitts in my oven. Wanna get a lick of this loving. Get a lick of this loving.
Yeah, I like it loud, and I'll make you shout. Give you that black eyed peas, you know that boom boom pow.
If you only get with me, there's something you
want. Oh yes, that boom boom pow.
I hear you.
I'm with you, dog. I'm with you. That accident that the internet lady was telling me about.
wanna know.
Drop it to the feet, down low.
In 1.5 miles, take exit 8B on the left toward Alameda, San Jose.
Actually, yes. Actually, yes.
Feet, take exit 8B on the left toward Alameda, San Jose.
Okay, that's what we're doing.
Take exit 8B on the left, then keep right at the fork.
Keep right, okay, all right. Get over with these trucks. I think this is the right move. I don't know. Okay, I can be in either lane. I didn't need to be in here with these trucks, but we're getting where we need to get.
Keep right at the fork.
Yeah.
left. Continue on I-80 south for 3/4 of a mile. In a half mile, continue on to I-80 south.
Sure. Decided to stop cooperating. Lady about the exits I need to take, but, well, it's technology for you, failing when you need it most. It's a Pokemon-themed billboard for STDcheck.com, and under it it says, "'Cause you don't want to catch them all." That's... wow. Congrats on making your STD billboard look like a cartoon for kids. Good stuff. Wise. Get them young. Latino Power Tour is coming to the Oakland Coliseum. Or I guess, I'm sorry, it's the Oracle Coliseum. Whatever company is paid to slap their name onto the Oakland Coliseum this year. For this exit says this is where I should go if I want to go to the airport, but my phone says I should wait and take the next exit. I wish this phone was telling me where to go so I didn't have to keep fucking looking at it. Now I guess I can just look up and see airport everywhere, so. Parking, yes, all right. Terminal area parking. Terminals. Well, I want terminal area parking, so I guess I'll get over into this lane. Past this Jeep. Hourly and daily parking, left lane, economy parking, right lane. Daily parking means they charge you every day, like any proper parking garage. Economy parking must be the, hey, this one's further away. Daily, hourly. Okay. All right. Coupon users, banks, insert credit card. That's. Unreadable card, insert card again. Great. Okay, this is already going awesome. All right, let's try putting it in the other way. Card declined. Take ticket. This is all going great. Thank you. All right. Unfamiliar parking lot at an airport that I have not been to in a while. This can only go well. Okay, and now I've got a gate. Now I just need to figure out how to get to from this fucking distant parking lot to where the planes go. All right, I never did open this drink either. Damn it. Alright, I'm gonna put this iPad in a bag, so see you later.